After the Army's harrowing defeat to Cornwallis at Camden that led to this invasion, the Continental Commander, Major General Horatio Gates, arrives at the Polk House around 11 p.m. on the evening of the battle, August 16. He and a few aides have made a cowardly personal retreat directly from the battlefield without the remains of his army. Gates had ridden 70 miles since that morning, likely changing horses at least once. According to Graham, he stops outside Polk's house and speaks to him for a few minutes, telling his version of events without getting off his horse. Then his group rides past you, up Tryon Street toward Salisbury, and from there all the way to Hillsboro, a two-hour drive by car today. The next day, troops begin to arrive from the battlefield, and the village around you is crowded with disoriented soldiers and disorganized local militia. However, the soldiers slowly filter through and then up the Salisbury Road. Upon reorganizing what is left of the army in Hillsboro, Gates brings it back to Charlotte down the Salisbury Road 2 months after Cornwallis departs, on Monday, November 20, 1780. The army settles into Cornwallis's old campsite. After a five-day excursion to a camp about 10 miles south, using today's Providence Road, it returns and builds winter huts similar to the famous ones at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. A Patriot officer wrote, "The dividend of blankets was very inadequate to the occasion." On Saturday, December 2, Major General Nathaniel Greene enters town down Tryon and shelters with Polk. At the time, Greene was 38 years old, somewhat corpulent, but taller than the average man and of fair complexion, an historian writes. An old injury had left him with a limp. Greene kept Polk up almost all night interviewing him. Polk said later, Greene better understood the supply problem than Gates had done in the whole period of his command. Within a few days, Greene takes command from Gates, making the courthouse his headquarters. Gates' trials are not supposed to be over. Greene has orders from General George Washington to open a board of inquiry into Gates' conduct at Camden. Whether due to a lack of high-ranking officers for the board or mere reluctance, Greene never does, and Gates heads north within a week. Greene learns that of 1,482 to 2,300 men in the vicinity and well enough to fight, at most two-thirds are Continental regulars instead of militia. Those well-clothed and equipped only amount to 800. Many he describes as literally naked, and he issues orders those men are not to be sent out on guard duty. There's only enough food on hand to feed the army for 3 days, and the surrounding area has been picked clean. The enlistments of Colonel Davies' troops have all run out. Since Davy has no one to command, Greene asks him to take over as the quartermaster in charge of supplying the army. Davy, writing later in the third person, says he turned it down by telling Greene he knew nothing about money or account, so that he must therefore be unfit for such an appointment. The general replied that as to money and accounts, the colonel would be troubled with neither, that there was not a single dollar in the military chest, nor any prospect of obtaining any. Meanwhile, Greene begins to reestablish discipline. The men were soon given to understand that orders were to be obeyed, camps were to be policed, and uniforms and equipment, however shabby, were to be neat and clean, an historian writes. A deserter was hung the week after Greene took over, with the whole army ordered out to watch. In the courthouse around that time, Greene and his officers decide to split the army. Greene hopes to obtain more food for both wings, pin down Cornwallis, and provide rallying points for Patriot militia. On Wednesday, December 20, most of the troops move southeast toward what is now Cheraw, South Carolina. Along with them go the entire Catawba Nation of 300 people, allies of the Patriots, including about 60 warriors. Meanwhile, Brigadier General Daniel Morgan leads 300 soldiers and additional cavalry to the northwest on Trade Street, heading toward the Catawba River with plans to meet up with more militia troops. Check out our battle map further down the page, and then continue to the audio clip under Casualties.